We have as our scripture reading this afternoon, Matthew chapter 6. Matthew chapter 6, and we will be reading the Lord's Prayer. So we'll begin at verse 9, read the Lord's Prayer through verse 13, and then skip down to verse 22. In this manner, therefore, pray, Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread. And forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. And then down to verse 22. The lamp of the body is the eye. If therefore your eye is good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eye is bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If therefore the light that is in you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. And therefore I say to you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or what you will drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air, for they neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not of more value than they? Which of you, by worrying, can add one cubit to his stature? So why do you worry about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. And yet I say to you that even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. Now if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For after all these things the Gentiles seek, for your heavenly Father knows that you need all these things. But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. And therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about its own things. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble. That ends our reading of God's word, but I will reread verse 11, which is our text, give us this day our daily bread. And in connection with this, I'm going to read to you Lord's Day 50, which we agreed together is the teaching of the Word of God, and which I'll be opening from the text this afternoon. So what does the fourth petition mean? Give us our daily bread means provide for all our physical needs so that we may recognize that you are the only source of everything good and that neither our care and work nor your gifts can do us any good without your blessing. Therefore, may we withdraw our trust from all creatures, place it in you alone. Congregation, beloved of the Lord Jesus Christ, there are people around today who will tell you how to look and how to feel great. When I was growing up, we had coaches that would enable you to be good at some specific thing. And there were doctors and physiotherapists who enabled you to get along with life in general. But now you have people who promise you that if you eat what they tell you to eat and you do the exercises that they tell you to exercise, that you are going to be able to do all things to the best of your ability. And when you look into this, if you ever have looked into these kinds of things, you may find that there are insurmountable goals sometimes involved in achieving the ends that they promise. Those ends that they promise are usually not really achievable for the average person. And you look at that and you might say, well, there's a whole lot of emphasis that I could have spent building up my body. And what does the Word of God really say about this? We heard this morning about the Apostle Paul. He went in all these shipwrecks and he had his body beaten with canes. It doesn't seem that in Scripture there's that same priority on the body. There is a lifelong decay, and we know when we die, our spirits go to be with God, our body goes into the ground. And we might ask the question, well, how do we see our bodies rightly? What's the right way of looking at them? Does God care about our bodies? We might even ask the question, does God care about whether we're sick? There's a lot of emphasis on sin and God forgiving our sin. Does he care if we are sick or unable to do things, if we suffer in our bodies? Now, from our text, we understand that God cares. Jesus teaches his people to pray, give us this day our daily bread, to care for their bodies. So he cares, and he wants us to care as well. He doesn't want us to deny our normal concerns about the body. He wants us to take them to him. And we sometimes make this mistake where we think, well, there's the spiritual and the physical, and they are so far separated from each other, but they are not that separate. There are distinctions, of course, between the body and the spirit, but they are so interrelated in the way that God made us. You can think of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden. They were told, don't eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil, but they did eat. They physically ate, but that was as they were guided by the sin of their souls. And when Jesus saves us, what does he do? He gives us the power through his Spirit that with our bodies, we will not use our bodies to sin. That we stop denying him with our bodies and use them to grow and walk in holiness. There's no greater care, actually, that you can take with your body than to keep it from sin. The body is for the Lord, and the Lord for the body. But our bodies need to be sustained. If we want to use our bodies to submit to God and to go on serving God, then these bodies need to receive strength. They need to be able to keep on going. And God's given us an impulse and an understanding that every day we need to be renewing our energy stores again. We need to be rebuilding every day again. So we are to want to feed our bodies, and the way Jesus is teaching us to pray this prayer, we are to take that want to God. So our text is verse 11, give us this day our daily bread. Our theme will be look to God for sustenance. Now this is in the imperative. Let me ask a question. How often do you pray? Is daily prayer, give us this day our daily bread? Do we see the matters of sin, which are extremely important, as actually overriding and blocking out the need to pray that God would take care of our physical needs? We spoke this morning of a spiritual battle. And that battle is so pervasive, so thoroughgoing, that Satan will also attack you when it comes to breakfast, lunch, and dinner. If he can have you believing you take care of getting your food and he will take care of sin, then Satan has begun to have a foothold, and he can start eroding in other ways. So this is of utmost importance, as everything the Word of God teaches. It is very important because ultimately, as it said at the end of the Lord's Day, it has to do with idolatry. We want our trust to be in God alone for all of our needs, and that includes physical needs. So what we're going to do is look through verse 11 and pull it apart so that we understand, as we pray this petition, what is it that we are praying for, and Lord willing, motivate us to pray it with the correct fervency. These things are part of what Jesus Christ has restored us to as his people, a people that look in the right way now at their bodies and their souls in relation to God. So we will have 3 points. The first is, what is the provision or sustenance of which we're speaking? So that is the daily bread, that phrase daily bread. Second, from whom does it come? And third, for whom does it come? So Jesus spoke about bread, and what is bread? Well, it can mean ordinary bread, but bread is a representative term. It's really Jesus was using it as a shorthand way of referring to all kinds of things. And in the Eastern culture, we should understand that bread was the primary part of the meal, or the focus of the meal. Other parts were add-ons. They were on the side. And so, for example, you read in Genesis 18, when Abraham is visited by 3 strangers, he requests if he can go get them some bread, and he returns with, if you remember, milk, butter, a calf, and bread. Because that bread was the focal point of the meal, and it represented all of that food. In Genesis, when God said that Adam would eat bread by the sweat of his face, we know from Scripture even that the whole creation suffers under the curse. It's not just bread that's affected, water too, right? All kinds of food. But also all of our provision, our clothing, our shelter, the things that we materially need, these things are all affected by the curse. And so God sometimes uses this word bread as a shorthand for all the things that we materially need. And so Jesus, we understand that this is what he meant too. As we go through this chapter, at the end of the chapter, he says, don't worry about what you're going to eat and clothing, what you're going to wear, or anything of your natural life. Verse 25. Don't worry about your life. Your Father knows you need all these things. He cares. You should care too, not in the way of anxiety, but in the way of taking it to him. So, when we talk about our daily bread, this is why we confess together, that it has to do with all of our material needs. But it's not just bread, it is daily bread. Daily bread. This prayer is about what we would like the Lord to do for us today. Now, we live in a society where we can stockpile things. We usually have enough money. We have places that we can go to get food, and we can convert that money into food, into clothing, into medicines, into appointments for physiotherapy or whatever it may be. We can build up quite a stockpile if we want to. We can fill up our fridges, our freezers, our pantries, and set ourselves up for some time to come and have lots left over in the bank. This petition is about our daily bread. Right? Even in an agricultural economy, harvest time, if it's a good harvest, you're set for some time to come. This gets you thinking longer term. You have to mete out that food over time, handle that provisioning over time. There is longer term thinking that happens, and that's not wrong. But our petition is about our daily bread. And that's important to understand, because The riches, possessions, they get wings and they fly away. Things happen. We can make plans, but those plans can go awry. May the Lord provide for me what I need today. Even if we have a lot of money in the bank, money can fail. We saw examples in Egypt and Canaan in the book of Genesis during the famine. There are examples in the world today. Can you put your trust in your money? Can you put your trust in your stockpiles? Can you make assumptions about them? No, you cannot. We need the blessing of God. And so we ask for our daily bread. And this is why in 1 Timothy, Paul says, having food and clothing, with these we shall be content. Those who desire to be rich fall into temptations and into a snare. You cannot serve God and money. You cannot put your trust in God and your trust in your stockpile. Now, at the same time, we do make plans. We look at the ant. He gathers when it's time to gather so that he'll have food throughout the winter. These things are right to do. But we understand plans can change. We don't know what the future will bring, but we do not worry about the future. The future belongs to God. We cannot change that future that God has ordained, but we trust in God. We let God take care of the future. So we have this as our daily prayer for a reason. We live out of the hand of God. We need daily care, spiritually as well as physically. When you think of the amount of energy that a person typically exerts to take care of his bodies, you see that it is a very significant need that God has created us with. When Christ redeemed us back to God, it was body and soul. He cares for them both. So we need to look at this request. Give us this day our daily bread in the right way, in dependence from God, on God. It's not just because we are sinners. Even in the original creation, sinless man had to depend upon God for his daily bread and thank God for his daily bread, for his daily food. And what happened in the beginning when Adam and Eve said, the food that God has provided is not enough. I want this other food. Untold misery. That alone tells you the importance of this petition. We want to eat what God provides for us to eat. We're now getting into the second point. From whom does this provision come, this sustenance, this bread, this daily bread? From whom does it come? Well, we've already been talking about it. It's been laced through everything I've said already. It comes from God. It's not a surprise. But what I'd like to do in making it a separate point is to develop that. How does our food come to us from God? How do our different provisions and different things we need, our clothing, our shelter, how do they come to us from God? And I'll start with the observation that God upholds all things. He continues to guide everything, so it operates according to his laws. There's an order in life. There is a repeatability in life that comes only because God maintains it. So there are mysterious things that we can study in science, maybe learn a little more about, but not understand completely. How is it that when that seed goes into the ground, it germinates? How is it that it sprouts up? How is it the rains come? How is it that it bears fruit? How is it that people know and have the strength to go out, gather that fruit and store it, deliver it, prepare it? How is it that chickens give us our eggs, cows give us our milk? How is it that all these things happen? Most amazingly, how is it that you can take ordinary food and put it in your mouth and your body rebuilds? Your body gets energy again. What amazing things. How do these things all happen? It's God. Every step of the way, from the beginning to the end, God is at work, enabling these things to come to pass. So we have Psalms celebrating God's work in creation. We just sang from Psalm 65. That's one of them. Celebrating God's work in creation, making things fruitful, making them grow, because this is God's hand. It is a very spiritual thing to sing about what God does in providing for our bodies as well as for our souls. We spoke about God being involved as the seed goes in the ground and through this whole process. But you'll notice mankind is involved in that process. There's work that man does. So when we pray to God, who uses these means to give us what we need, we are also praying that God will enable us to do our part in that whole process, that we will work, that we will be able to work, to take care of our necessities. We're made to work. God said, by the sweat of your face, you'll eat your bread, to Adam. And Scripture tells us, you provide for your families. Otherwise, you're worse than an infidel, if you remember that verse. It tells us, work and eat our own bread, meaning we shouldn't be lazy. We shouldn't freeload off others if we can help it. So we understand when we pray to God for our daily bread, we should be working for it as well. At the same time, God provides for us, but it's usually through our labor. So God provides. And because He is God, He may decide to bless us with plenty, or He may withhold for a reason or another. At times, God withheld from His people. Haggai 1 is one of those examples where God's people were more interested in their own houses, their own comforts, than they were in getting the house of God built. Which sounds a little bit like Adam and Eve in the garden. What they could get for themselves rather than obeying God. God withheld from them to make a point. The things that we sometimes think are automatic, the things that we sometimes think just happen because there are laws that make them happen, they're not automatic. God is the one who upholds all of those laws. So we need to pray to Him. And if we do not pray to Him, we are beginning to believe that they are automatic, some form of automatic. And what automatic means, you can speak of materialism that there is today, some way of thinking there is a system that does not involve God that gets us fed. And sometimes we can look, God feeds unbelievers. He feeds people who don't pray, as well as those who do. He makes the sun rise on the evil and the good, rain fall on the just and the unjust. And you might start thinking, well, does it matter if I pray? Does it matter if I pray for my daily bread? But the first thing that happens is you start to think God doesn't matter. That God doesn't oversee all of these wonderful things that he does oversee. And you begin to deny him in these things you see every day. You deny him in your breakfast, lunch, and supper. If we don't look to God, we look elsewhere. And this world is only too happy to receive you. There are people who say, here's how it works. You get a job, you make your money, you go to the store, you get your food. Voila. And that is not a lot different from the Canaanites who said, you offer your sacrifice to Baal, you put your food in the ground, you harvest it, voila, food. Both of them are systems that don't involve God. They just deny the Lord who intricately guides every single process so that we can get what we need every day. How did the Canaanites get their food? God fed them. We just said that. He fed them. He gave a witness of himself. He gives our food to us. As we said, he can withhold it. And it might not always be the kind of food we want. You can think of Israel in the wilderness. They got manna. Every day, God poured out bread from heaven, which, by the way, God used man to collect and to prepare. Every day, God poured out bread from heaven. He provided, he fed, he sustained. His people didn't want it. He said, the gods of Egypt have better food. That's what I want. That's what they wanted. So God gave them quail meat, lots and lots of quail meat. And as soon as their teeth chewed on that quail meat that was covering the ground as well, many of them died. And God was making a point. You can have all the food in the world. You can have an abundance, as Adam and Eve did in the Garden of Eden, as Israel had in the wilderness with quail meat everywhere. You can have an abundance, but you still need God's blessing. You need God to provide for you. God had provided. They were denying it. They were behaving as if idols provided and as if God did not. So you see, the matter of provision of food is ultimately not about what kind of food you get. And it might not even be about whether you get your food a particular day. The question is about who is your God? The Lord God of Israel, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, or is it an idol? Does he provide well for body as well as soul? If the answer to you is yes, you're going to be inclined to go to him. Ask him for your daily bread. You ask him to supply your needs day by day. And if the answer is no, you just melt into the way of thinking of the world that denies God. And ultimately, that system will make you its servant. God provides as he sees fit. We go to him with our request. He's God. We trust him as God. Through Christ, he's our Father. He loves us. He wants to do what is good for us. But sometimes what is good is accomplishing a great purpose that he has for us in this world. And as we heard this morning, that it may involve a lot of discomfort. God needs to be permitted to use us to glorify himself. So that might involve you getting sick and not being healthy every day in your life. It might involve having some days where you go without food. It might involve your car not starting when you really need it to start. We don't know God's purposes in these things, but we know God has a purpose. And that is to glorify himself. And that gives us a great comfort. And in these things, what does God want? He teaches us, give us this day our daily bread. Why? So we turn away fatalistically. We say, oh, that didn't do any good. No. So that we keep on turning to him. Keep on hoping in him. Because he is the provider. Without him, there is nothing. He is the source of everything good. He wants us to trust his way is best. He instructs us, continue to ask him in faith for your daily sustenance. And this is what living by faith, part of what living by faith is. As the Lord Jesus has restored us back into fellowship with God, we look trustingly to our Heavenly Father. We trust that he will provide what is good for us, however that may come out. And sometimes when we least expect it, God will provide. When we are in dire need, God sometimes provides in a very unusual way. And that may be from a gift. And that's what I'm going to look at next. That's our third point. For whom? For whom do we pray? Give us our daily bread. How does this prayer begin? Our Father. Our. Plural. This petition. Give us this day our daily bread. We pray in the plural because we're praying with others. For others. It's a prayer by children of God for the children of God. We don't just pray for ourselves as individuals. We're praying for God's people. We may have a priority in our own family, but our view, I mean, God cares for all his children. He wants us to care for all of his children as well. He wants us to have that interest. And when we have that interest, that more broad interest in God's children, then it moves us to certain kinds of actions, such as you can see in the book of Acts. At that time, there was a real need. People donated sums of money to meet the needs. One of the examples was the widows. They were no longer able to work. They used to have the priests take care of them. But once they believed in Jesus, the priests were no longer interested in supporting. And these widows prayed this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. And the rest of the church prayed this prayer, give us this day our daily bread. Those poor widows over there, Lord, will you provide? You use means to feed us. Maybe I am the means to feed these widows. So they got a daily distribution because that was the mindset in the church. Give us this day our daily bread. That concern for our physical well-being is something that should live in the church. And it's really in line with the diaconal ministry, which we support formally as we give offerings for their work, but also person to person. As we pray for our daily bread, we are asking God to use us where he wishes to help provide sustenance for those who have a real need. And there are some today who aren't able to take care of themselves, They may not be able to work temporarily, maybe permanently. Some may be taking care of those who are unable to take care of themselves. Christ teaches, among other things, labor with your hands that you may have to give to him who has a need. It's not all just for you. Sometimes there are entire churches that are in need, as the Apostle Paul took up collections in the New Testament. Are these in your mind when you pray this prayer? It's not just you, and it's not just your family. It's your family, your brothers and sisters in Christ. They're part of it too. In our day, with social safety nets, it can be very easy to think that a government support program, that's going to take care of what people need. And sometimes that's true. Maybe God will work that way. Sometimes. Not always. And it's not always about money, bodily needs. Somebody's just had a birth. Somebody's just had a death. Think of Krista's family, who has just gone in for brain surgery. These people need meals. Some people who are older, they need a little help keeping the place up. They need a little help to get the shopping done. Some might need motivational help to stick with their jobs. Others might need motivational help or practical help to land a job. All this is included. Give us this day our daily bread. Use us. Now, to be specific about how to do that, there's a world of need, limited resources. In the Old Testament, it was easy. They had laws. Leave some gleanings in the fields. Let your neighbors come into your fields and take some produce. Judge the fatherless and the widow. Let there be equity for them, especially. Now today, those laws have expired. We don't have these gleaning laws anymore. But the Lord has given us something better. He has poured out the Spirit of Christ into our hearts. Christ, who bought us body and soul, and who loves us body and soul, who wants to provide for us body and soul. And with the Spirit of Christ, as we look around, we can see the need of our brothers and sisters. We can begin to recognize those needs, to hear the calls to support certain kinds of things that need supporting. We can respond out of the love of Christ, out of the wisdom of that Spirit that He has poured into our hearts. This is a noble, noble work. It's an honor to be involved as God's provision for someone who has need. As we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we ask, can we enter in to your work, Lord, providing for me, providing for my family, providing for others of your children too. Psalm 37 says, I have been young and now I'm old, yet I have not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Well, may this be the case among God's people today, that they prove God to be true and faithful by finding strength and blessing from God to work for their own sustenance and, where it's needed, also the sustenance of others. So what have we said this afternoon? Our daily bread, our provision of all our material needs, what we need, especially for this day, to accomplish what we need to accomplish today. We need to look to God. We look to God for the future too, so that we have no anxiety about tomorrow, but we work for what we need today, trusting the Lord will use us, and that the Lord will use us to be a blessing where it is needed in the lives of all of his children. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for reminding us again how even in these simple, everyday ways where you show your goodness to unbelievers as well as believers, we need to be acknowledging you. We need to be looking to you. We need to be demonstrating also the love of Christ that's been poured into our hearts. We need to acknowledge that relationship that we live in before you, that we've been restored, that you are our Father, that we can call upon you for any of our needs, that you do care for us, for the things that happen in our bodies, for our sicknesses, our illnesses, the surgeries we need to have, for all our material needs, that you love us and want to care for us. We pray that that care may be evident. Lord, use us as instruments in your hand. We want to pray now as well for our offering this afternoon for Ontario URC. We pray for your blessing on the work of the spreading the gospel there. And we pray that you give your encouragement to Pastor Daniel Ventura and Pastor Taylor Kern as they work on the Spanish-speaking, among the Spanish-speaking people there, as well as English-speaking. Lord, will you receive the offerings we give this afternoon and bless your people with it? We ask in Jesus' name, amen.